Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Great.
I'm having a lot of fun. I'm having a great deal of appreciation for what we in Buddhism call Sangha.
Sangha.
A community of people who practice together.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you before we go on that I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you.
You're having trouble hearing me?
I'm having trouble hearing you and everything else about World Talk Radio. So,
great. I will see if there's anything we can do here to get better volume levels for you.
I hope so.
Okay. And I will be sure to speak up, and I will invite our callers to speak up also.
All right. Because it will have to get a lot better than this for it to work.
Okay. Very good.
So this past Sunday at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, we had an open house.
Oh, yes.
And, we invited people from our community around Murphy's and beyond to come and do Sunday morning meditation group with us and then have a tour of all of the things that the sustainability efforts that we're making at the monastery. And we had 70 folks.
70?
70. We had 70 folks meditating in a room that's kind of maxed out at 35.
Wow.
So it's very cozy and a great deal of fun. So we got to show off our new office buildings and, all of our solar stuff and like that. So it was very fun. And then, of course, we went right from that into continuing the building retreat and making more of these little environment-friendly, earth-caring sustainability projects come to life. So it's a very good time.
That is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So the building retreat ends in a couple of days, is that correct?
It ends on Saturday.
Yes.
So we have much to accomplish before that retreat ends. We're going to get the office buildings just almost finished, certainly to the point where people can move in, and the little hermitages that we've been working on are very close to being finished as well. So we've accomplished, and we have the new fence that we put up. So we're going to feel very accomplished in terms of our goals by the time this month is over. When
that?
People leave on Saturday, they'll leave a transformed monastery behind them.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
In addition to being transformed themselves, I project.
Well, it seems like an awful lot of good stuff is happening, yes.
Yeah.
People sound like they're having a rather nice time of it.
You know that can happen at the monastery.
All the usual voices of good grief. What have I done? What am I doing here? Why did I think I wanted to do awareness? You know, all of those voices that everybody struggles with one time or another. Aside from that, people are having a great time.
Yes, that is great.
Mm-hmm. And
Sherry,
Michael,
I have good news.
Michael?
We have a couple of callers.
Michael?
Yes, Sherry?
Something must be done about the volume because I will not be able to hear the callers.
Okay, so you can't hear me well.
I cannot hear you well.
Okay, great. Let me do
some
communication with the engineer, and we'll see what we can do.
If I, scrunch up my entire body into listening mode.
Yes. Sherry, we're going to take a commercial break and see if we can do something about that, and we're going to be right back.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, can you hear me?
Michael, I would just love to report that I can.
Let's try it with a caller and see if it's better.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Olivia from Toronto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello?
Olivia, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Great.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, and I'm delighted to hear you, because actually I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful.
It's only Michael who fades off into the into the ozone.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I can hear you guys, too.
What's going on, Olivia?
Not much. I'm calling for two reasons. I called you a couple weeks ago. Oh, my God, a couple weeks ago. Let's talk about a couple months ago. But I've just been so busy every Tuesday night. I haven't been able to call. But you gave me an assignment about writing out. I broke up with somebody, and you gave me an assignment about writing out, breaking up with this person does not make me good. Or, sorry, breaking up with this person does not make me bad, and speaking to them does not make me good.
Uh-huh.
And posting that sort of, posting that around. And I noticed I had to repeat it a lot, but it did help in terms of letting go of the situation and not making it so important.
So when you would read that, it would remind you.
Exactly.
Of what you know to be true.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And it sort of, it was really funny because that situation, that guy in particular, he was on television, so my ego was, like, feeding off that, like, Olivia, you're so, you know, you're so bad for breaking up with, you know, a TV star or whatever, and then I opened up the TV guide, and there he was, and it was something I kind of really struggled with not blaming myself for, and then I actually found out through the grapevine that he cheated on me, so I was right to break up with him in the first place. I didn't know that when I did make the decision, but I just
Well, and it's interesting, too, isn't it, because if he worked in a gas station, would that have changed who he was?
No, not at all.
Uh-huh.
But yet,
for that part of conditioning, the fact
exactly.
that he's on television, somehow different rules should apply.
Exactly.
Yeah, you should stay in this relationship regardless because he's on television.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it took a lot to kind of get over. I think that final piece of information really, like, brought to light the person and not just that he's on television or whatever.
Yeah.
And that really helped me kind of remember. And then I had my ego feeding off of that again, being like, oh, if you were somehow better, he wouldn't have cheated on you. And I know that's ridiculous. And I can
the constant that we can see in all of this is those voices talking to you are really not trying to help you, are they?
No.
No.
Not.
You can see why we call them the voices of self-hatred.
Exactly. And they're so slippery that sometimes you think it is you, but it's hard to, I find for myself, it's really hard to even note, like, they're so slippery, sometimes they don't sound so mean, so it's really easy to let them creep back in.
Yeah, but only if we're really not listening, huh? So
right.
If you were a better person, he wouldn't have cheated on you. You know, sort of, no matter how a voice would say that, you know, try to picture a friend saying that to you in a way that wouldn't come down to a big dose of, boy, is there something wrong with you.
Exactly.
You know, it's an ugly, ugly message. So to me, those are the two points. One, that you have to listen really clearly and carefully to what those voices are saying.
Right.
And the second piece of that is if they're not kind and supportive and compassionate, it doesn't matter if they're you.
Right.
There's nothing in them for you that you need to
even
take in or take on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's the key, just continuously paying close attention.
Close attention. And, of course, that little those little exercises of writing things down can be really helpful. Because there's a voice that you keep hearing, and you can't, is that me? Think, you know, is that really true? Well, just write it down. And then go back and read it and think, you know, would I say this to my 5-year-old niece?
Of course not.
What?
No, of course you would. I mean, it's funny. My counselor that I see tells me to do that to try it like some as a strategy because I was coping with an eating disorder. So, I mean, when those voices come in to try to picture saying them to a 5-year-old version of myself, and of course you would never, ever say that to a 5-year-old.
Of course not. So there's the fast test, isn't it?
Is yeah,
the voice
exactly.
I should be listening to? Would I say it to a 5-year-old? Yes. Okay. Then that's probably a pretty kind, compassionate voice. If I wouldn't, because it would sound horrible and cruel and mean, well, then it's not a helpful voice for me either.
Exactly. The other thing I wanted to ask you was I noticed that I've been taking a meditation workshop,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that when I start to get in these modes of, like, really paying attention to everything, so kind of the voices of my eating disorder melt away, so there's not really any thinking about what I'm going to eat or how fat I am or whatever, and then the voices of dating melt away, and, you know, there's no thoughts about, you, like, sort of it becomes very spacious.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading a lot of your books, and it's saying, like, you say, like, when you have the spaciousness, it's joy and peace.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I feel sad.
Okay. When do you feel sad? And what I'm asking you is, do you feel sad in the spaciousness, or do you leave the spaciousness and feel sad?
Oh.
Ooh, isn't that tricky?
That is tricky.
This is some subtle stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. I see. I think it's when, like, I notice that it's spacious.
Uh-huh.
And it's like there's nothing to do now.
There's nothing
to do. Like it's like there's a voice that's like, there's nothing to do. This is it.
Yeah. So there's the spaciousness, and we could say a voice of ego or karmic conditioning, or how we want to talk about it, who does not live in that spaciousness.
Right.
Says, oh, my God.
There's, like, yeah. Oh, maybe that's what it is, because I think in my house, like, my parents, they come from, like, a European culture, and they're always worried about things.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I'm not worried about anything, it feels weird.
Yes.
Like,
it feels wrong, doesn't it?
Sorry?
It feels wrong.
It does feel wrong. It feels like I'm just not going to go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I see. So it's not okay. So I guess in feeling that spaciousness, I was attaching it with something being, like, sad or wrong, but really it's just spaciousness.
Yeah, well, so we're constantly making this distinction, right? So there's center, your heart, your authentic nature, whatever, that
yeah.
which animates you, and you come to center, and there's that spaciousness. And the experience of that in your heart is peace or joy or relaxation or comfort or ease or whatever. That same experience is perceived by ego as threatening, scary, sad, upsetting, alarming, terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think is a good way to kind of calm the ego, like to let it know that there's nothing wrong? Like, because I also notice in meditation, I get these like horrible, like fear comes up a lot. Like when I start to really let go, the fear, like it's like tremendous. Like, and then I notice the space gets filled up again with stuff.
Well, that's actually the process that we're in.
Okay.
So you come back to center, it all falls away. Everything is just fine. Ego comes roaring in with all of this, what's wrong? The fear, the anxiety, the upset, the stories, and you just watch the tendency to get pulled into that. You drop it all and come back. You get pulled into it again. You drop it, you come back, there's nothing wrong. So it's like, you know, you walk into a theater and, you know, it's a Saturday matinee. You walk in and it's just this really alarming, upsetting movie. Okay, it's scary, it's sad, it's, you know, it's all of those things. Really upsetting. And you're there watching the movie and you get really upset. And then you walk outside, and it's a bright, sunshiny day. And you walk back into the theater, you watch the screen, you get all caught up, you get really upset, you're into the story, into the movie. Something reminds you, wait a minute, this isn't real, this is just a story. And you walk outside again. Okay? Now, what you can't do is take the movie outside.
Right. Oh, I get it. So as long as you're identified with that, you can't be outside at the same time.
That's right. That's right. You're either in the theater watching that movie or you're outside.
Oh, I get it. Okay, because I think I've been really hard on myself.
Yep.
Trying to make the movie outside.
That's right. At which, again, those voices are always angling for what's going on to be your fault, something that you're doing wrong. You know, if you were a better person, he wouldn't have cheated on you. If you were more aware, you could make this a karmic movie play outside in the sunshine.
Yeah.
Your fault, ego is so unhappy and miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always running that angle. And what we're learning to do is notice that condition
and come, go back outside.
That's right. Take a deep breath and walk out into the sunshine.
Wow, I think I really get it.
Good.
Practice with it.
Sorry? Give us a call. Let us know how it goes. Now, here's the thing. Don't get a bunch of expectations because you can see it.
I know what you're saying about that. I think I was missing the point of even though my meditation practice, like, my instructor is really good, I think I wasn't really grasping the whole.
Yep. It takes a long time. And even though you've grasped it now, conditioning is going to hit you with about 1,200 things that you never would have thought of. and so this is how we go. Okay? So just when you think, okay, I see it's a movie. I got it. Okay. The plot takes some kind of turn that just mesmerizes you.
Right.
Suddenly you just can't make yourself tear your eyes away from that screen.
I get it.
Yeah, so just expect it and enjoy the process. You know, you're Sherlock Holmes, put on your hat, get out your magnifying glass, get the pipe, and away we go.
Great. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I really like... I appreciate all your books and everything you've...
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that you're doing the practice.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Good
night.
Soon. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Olivia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. Coming up next on Open Air in our second segment of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness, and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I love those aha moments.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm projecting, but they're great in here, and they're great when I project them on other people as well.
Yeah. Us awareness junkies, we live for that.
Yes, I do. We have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Jen from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Jen?
Jen, are you there? Oh, let's see. How about Rebecca? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let's talk to Rebecca.
Okay, I don't know where Jen went, but
we'll find her. She's out there in space somewhere.
Yeah. How are you, Sherry?
I'm doing well. You?
Great, great. And before we started, I was just thinking about Michael. How grateful I am that you forged ahead and y'all made all this happen. It's so nice on the occasional Tuesdays that I can not work and plug in and listen to this. It's just, you know, that y'all are just there as faithful as good dogs, you know? So I'm just really grateful that y'all did this. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
So, Sherry, I wanted to, what I've been looking at is within my own meditation practice, how there's been this a desire to go deeper,
uh-huh.
and kind of find some. It feels like there. It's this desire to have some more tools to practice with, and it's not that I've mastered following the breath and counting the breath. It's not that at all. It's not like I'm bored with this. I don't know if it's just dissatisfaction with a new face or whatever, but I just noticed that it's like what y'all were just talking about, the awareness junkies. You know, when you get a taste of that silence, that deepness, it's like, I wonder if there's some other, if there's some tools that I can practice with. Now, does this sound like just egocentricity wanting to take me away from just the kind of the good old standard counting your breath?
Well, what we can know is, yes, it'll try to use anything to accomplish that,
mm-hmm.
right? So it'll take any thought, any emotion, any desire, any wish, anything, and try to turn it into something that it can use to its advantage. But we can't let ourselves not experience what we experience, because conditioning is going to try to use it against us.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things that occur to me about this.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, no, I don't think there's anything that takes the place of sitting practice,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's not what you're talking about. You're talking
right.
about other things to do as well, right?
Right.
Yeah. So one that occurs to me, we have someone in our Sangha who is probably more devoted to process mapping than all of us put together. And she uses it as a daily tool of disidentification. So she doesn't just process map, you know, big traumatic things that go on in her life. She process maps everything that goes on in her life.
Huh.
So when we were talking to the caller earlier about, you have to listen very carefully to what goes on in your head, and then you can write it down, and you can look at it at a later time and see, does this seem like it leads towards suffering, away from suffering?
Mm-hmm.
So it's bringing that kind of conscious awareness, not to big moments of life, what conditioning would identify as big moments of life, but just every moment of life. You know,
yeah.
just a little walking around, what's going on? What occupies your conscious awareness through most of the hours of your life?
Yeah. Well, what is she? Does she walk around with the yellow sticky pads?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and just put it on walls or doors or wherever?
Right. And has you know, like layers of maps, current maps, previous maps, you know, the ability to tie the maps together. And in fact, has created a whole space in the house where she can do this.
Wow.
And I must say, as you can probably tell, I'm quite impressed
with
the level of her practice.
She must have been a detective in a past life or something.
Right. Because one of the things that happens with this is, as far as I can tell, nothing slips by. In other words, there isn't that area of life that has gotten turned over to conditioning and nobody's questioning it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how I am in my primary relationship, or how I am with my kids, or how I am with friends, how I am with money, how I am, you know, those kinds of things that we think, well, yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
Process map it. So, you know, if you find that you can't save money, you know, she would process map that until there wasn't a single aspect of the personality left undiscovered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no room for taking things personally, for blaming others, for believing conditioning, because everything gets scrutinized and taken apart in that way.
Well, you know, as you're saying that, it what's coming up for me is that even though, like right now, I don't think there's a big problem, you know, like it's not like, oh, I've got to lose weight and so I want to see what's all up about that, or you know, it just sounds fun to do that.
Yes. Yes. So that all of your attention and awareness is on what goes into making up your life all the time. What could be more fun than that?
Yeah.
You know, it's really being at the center of your life, and it's not being at the center of your life in a selfish, I'm just going to live in a relationship of these voices in my head telling me a story about what my life is like, but at the center of my life in terms of taking full responsibility for my life, mm-hmm. taking advantage of every opportunity,
mm-hmm.
Participating as much as I possibly can, yeah, clearing away the layers of conditioning that keep me from really being here as a full participant in life.
You know, I think that, yeah, that seems like what it's, that sounds like the depth that I am talking about, that it seems, feels like I'm wanting, you know?
So there, and then there's a second one.
Okay.
And that's our reflective listening buddies.
Oh, right.
And, we're revving this up as we go along, and so you know how it works, right? You sign up, and you get paired with, you know, you could get paired actually with as many people as you wanted to get paired with, and what people do then is set up a time during the day,
mm-hmm.
For a half-hour phone call.
Mm-hmm.
One person talks about whatever is going on, the other reflects. Then the second person talks and the first person reflects, make an appointment for the next call, hang up, and that's it.
Yeah.
So there's no personal relationship, there's no socializing, there's no nothing. It's just leaving your life for this half an hour, you know, just stopping whatever you're caught up in during the day, disidentifying, coming back, checking in with what's going on, being reflected, then reflecting somebody else, and going back to your life. And what the people who are doing it tell me is that it's so extraordinarily helpful because they'll arrange these things to happen randomly throughout their week.
Yeah.
So it's not like, okay, I'll just kind of go unconscious all through the workday, and then when I get off work, I'll bring conscious awareness to my life.
Yeah.
So they'll arrange it for a morning break or an afternoon break or at the lunch hour or, you know, on their way to work or whatever. So conditioning is really challenged.
Yeah, caught off guard.
Yeah.
Now I thought I had signed up for that. Has it started and I've missed the boat, or is it?
No, they're very much in the process of getting it up and running.
Okay.
But you might, send in another little reminder to people that you're ready to do this if they have somebody ready to pair up with you.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. So all of these things that, you know, when you started out talking about the radio show, here it is at, in your time zone, this time on Tuesday evening, you know, and then you have people that you're doing this reflective listening with. You find people that you can sit with, and pretty soon the week starts having all of these places in it where you're sort of required to come to attention.
Yeah, and not just on the cushion, you know, that it really is taking it out into the waking world.
Yep. Yeah, bringing more and more of your life into conscious, compassionate awareness. And then, you know, you add that process mapping element, and whee!
Yeah, that feels like the one that's going to get the most resistance, which, of course, is a good sign in a way.
Oh, yeah, and so then, that's perfect, isn't it? Because the first thing you can process map is resistance.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, you know, I'm a big proponent of always having something that's challenging you.
Mm-hmm.
Always being on the edge with something. So whatever that is, you know, for a lot of people it's making a commitment to a sitting group, or it's, you know, deciding to sit at home for a period of time every day, or it's whatever it is. Making sure that you get to workshops or retreats regularly. You know, you're going to participate in the radio show 3 out of 4 Tuesdays. Whatever it is that constantly keeps, again, throwing conditioning off guard so that it can't just talk you into sort of going to sleep into the same old, same old.
I wonder if that works very well with intangibles, you know, where it's not like a project. Because this intention that I've been setting for myself the last, maybe week or so, has been around living big and not shrinking my, not playing dumb. Because I've seen circumstances where I do that, and in this kind of misguided attempt to make other people feel smart, you know, or something, I don't know, but sounds like a good place to process. But
sure.
But this living on the edge, I wonder if what you're talking about, it needs to be kind of tangible or physical,
no,
or if
first
some
of
kind
all,
of an intention,
of course,
like
yes,
this.
That's a perfect thing to process map.
Yeah.
And as you bring more conscious awareness to it, you'll begin to identify the people with whom you do that, the places, and then you can take those on as a challenge.
Then
I'm in a meeting with so-and-so, and now I've process mapped it so I can feel when it's coming on.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say anything because, you know, you can hear the voices in there. And when that happens, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
I'm going to express my opinion. I'm going to be authentic about what's going on for me in that situation, however that comes across for you.
Yeah.
And then you're combining those. You know, you're pushing that edge and you're mapping what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And if I've gotten in the discipline or the practice of process mapping, I've been seeing it, I'm kind of ready for it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it'll very quickly move from the realm of intangible to, this is a behavior that I am engaged in on a regular basis.
Yeah, this kind of shrinking.
And I can affect that.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fun.
Light a little fire under the practice. It's always a good thing.
Yeah. Well, one quick little, you know, we talk about these being a junkie, and one little thing that I saw today was how I have had a very busy day, you know, just moved from one thing to another real quickly today, and I was driving home and the voice was saying, I just have a problem with fast days like this. And immediately there was this this voice, this kind of memory of my saying the same thing to a spiritual friend of mine, that I have a real problem with slow days when I don't have anything to do. And so it was just one of those great moments where you catch ego and it's in the act. Okay, so we don't like fast days and we don't like slow days.
Right. So let me see if I can identify the you have a problem.
Yeah,
that's what it's saying.
That's it.
Yeah, so what a great moment, what a great projection moment, right?
Yeah.
And so it's possible just to turn around to that voice and say, I hear you. You have
yeah.
a lot of problems, and you would really like them to be mine.
Yeah, yeah. Did you say you would really like it to be mine?
Yeah, that yeah. voice would really like those problems to be yours.
Exactly, exactly. So I could be miserable no matter what day it is.
That's exactly right. And if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't notice that, in fact, you're not miserable.
Yeah.
Somebody is just trying to give you their problem.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's quite invigorated, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Pursues it.
Well, that's my fun story on ego to tell today.
Excellent.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Okay, take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Phone lines are open here if you'd like to join our conversation today. The number is...
We never found Jen?
Say that again?
We never found Jen?
I'm going to find out in just a moment.
Okay.
I think we do not have Jen in this moment.
I hate to think of her out there just kind of lost in...
Yes. Apparently Jen's gone for the day, so maybe she'll call back in.
All right.
We'll put our energy out there in the cosmos to get that call back. And we have a new caller. I'd like to welcome Donna from Pink. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello, Sherry. Hello,
hey.
Michael.
Hi.
Hi. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Oh, I couldn't hear your voice there for a minute. Listen, I wanted
I'm
to thank
that
you both
trouble.
For... Sorry?
I'm having that trouble. Apparently, it's going around.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
I'm struggling with, I think it's the way I deal with people. What happened was about 6 or 7 months ago, I made a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
And... I made that decision with, I thought it was mindfulness at the moment, but my business partner now tells me that it's not a decision that she's comfortable or able to really get comfortable with. So when the two of us reflect back on how that decision was made, we see it slightly differently.
Mm-hmm.
Her perception is that I made the decision, and then I talked to her about it, and my perception is I had an idea of the decision I wanted to make, and we talked about it, and she agreed. And so...
Oh, dear.
Now... Go ahead. Yes?
Yeah, I said, oh, dear.
Oh, dear, yeah.
Yeah, that's very difficult, because this is 6 or 7 months ago.
Right, right.
Yeah, and
so,
it probably wasn't recorded. So
right.
We're just left with, I thought.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And we've kind of come to the conclusion that we each had a different perception or maybe we don't quite remember exactly how it happened.
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, acceptable or agreeable to both of us. But what happens in the day-to-day running of the business, I'm okay with how this aspect of it is going, but she is not. And so... Recently, she said to me she was going to get some help with getting herself able to adjust to the situation. And that was upsetting to me because that just looks like the burden of it and the onus of it is on her. And I'm feeling as if I don't really want someone else to go through that if it's a something that I did that I need to go back and correct. But my correcting it involves some legal paperwork financial issues, which get very complicated. So I'm feeling really bad because she's going to probably try to get some help to work it out. And I don't see the decision that was made as being so trying, but it is trying for her. It's not trying for me.
Right.
And so
because the way you've laid it out anyway, according to her, you got to do what you wanted to do. So, of course, 6 or 7 months later, you're fine with it. It
and
wasn't the decision she wanted. So, of course, 6 or 7 months later, it's probably worse, right? It's probably compounding regularly for her.
Yeah, and it does. It comes up, you know, regularly. We both noticed that it in the last several weeks, because we made the decision was made 6 months ago, but now it's the the putting the decision into action, so to speak. And I can see the difficulties of it, and I'm not sure how to resolve the problem. And I do think there's probably a middle road here that we can find somehow. But what's really troubling for me is that this happens when there's a lot of other things going on. You know, we're trying to get another aspect of the business up and running. This other person has gone through some medical procedures. So the pressure is on. I mean, the day-to-day pressure of trying to get things working and working smoothly without the rest of the people in the building realizing that there's this tension is a little bit trying.
And so what would it take, or what would you be willing to do at this point to resolve this? In other words, are you still really committed to the way it is, feel it's the best way, that it would be just way too difficult and expensive to do something different, and you're just really feeling bad that she disagrees with you, but you still think it's right? Or is it something that with an amount of effort and energy and money that you would be willing to put into it, it could turn into something that you could both be comfortable with?
Well, I don't think that it was the right decision. I think that I could have done it differently.
Uh-huh.
I think it's workable the way it is. It's not ideal. But the decision I made at the time brought money in, which was what we needed. Or let me rephrase that. It was what I needed at that point in time because I own the building. But the decision impacts the business, which, you know, is present in the building. So for me to get out of it, I would actually have to break someone's lease. You know, I'm the owner, and they're leasing from me.
Uh-huh.
I would have to break that lease. And this person that, you know, doesn't know about that any of this is going on is just a good worker, a good part of the whole crew that we've put together, and my business partner would agree with all of that. You know, he's just a very, you know, good fit for what we do, but the financial arrangement we have with him is not one that works well for my partner.
Uh-huh. And so can you see a way through this that would not... you know, that place that we are always looking for, the place that's most compassionate for all? Is there a possibility that you could see?
Probably the reason for my call,
uh-huh.
because I think I've gone to extremes on either end. On one end, I want to just say, okay, well, I'll just cancel the lease. We'll see if we can come up. I mean, you know, we'll find the money somewhere else. I'll just suffer, you know. It's like, okay, I'll bear the brunt of it, and
so that's what it feels like. Either one of you is going to suffer.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. You're going to suffer because there are going to be these big financial consequences for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or your partner
mm-hmm.
is going to suffer because she's really unhappy with the way the whole thing
right.
is set up.
Right. And I could see myself as I was going from one extreme to the other. You know, it sounds like either I have to give up my viewpoints or she has to give up her viewpoint. And, I in my heart, I know that there's a middle ground.
But you can't see it yet.
We'll get in there. Mm-mm. No, I can't. I just can't see it just yet.
And as you've gone through this, have the two of you been in conversation about that middle way? In other words, have the two of you sat down to come up with the solution?
Mm-hmm.
Or have most of your conversations been around, okay, well, I'll have to give up what I want, or no, well, that's it, or I'll have to give up what,
mm-hmm.
have the two of, you know, in the...
Well, I thought we had, you know, just even earlier this week, I thought we had said, well, okay, we have to do this a little differently to sort of soften what was going on, you know, to make it more palatable all the way around, but it's come up again, and that's just like a day or two later. So
that's,
I guess,
clearly not the solution.
Yeah, so that's not the solution. So I don't know that we have talked about a middle way.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what it would be like for you to have that conversation, and maybe even, you know, if you could find a kind of a neutral party to do sort of an imago, modified imago session with you, you know, where to help facilitate hearing each other on this and to go into it with the idea that you're not going to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to explore, use the tools and resources that each of you could bring to it to come up with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I came to you and said, you know, I have this problem, would you two, who are used to, you know, making good, sound decisions that come from a compassionate place, would you brainstorm a solution for me and tell me mm-hmm. how I might make this work?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you could do it.
Mm-hmm. I think we can do it. I think part of what's so sort of puts drama to it is that there's just so much we're doing right now, and
yes.
we're both on overload, and
yep.
that's just a sort of escalating whatever's going on.
Yes, which is probably what is going on. Right. This is a place where when, you know, it's like the weak link in the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
mm-hmm.
is escalating.
Mm-hmm.
Where is stuff going to start leaking out? What's going to give way?
Uh-huh.
And so here's an issue that all of that emotion, you know, all of that energy can get focused toward.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, I think to try the third-party thing would be really helpful. You don't by any chance want to come and be the third party, do you?
Well, actually, I would love to. Yes, I would actually love to do that. I don't know how we could arrange it.
I understand.
Yeah, but anyone who could do that kind of reflective listening, you know, so that you could each listen in. And, you know, the last thing that you said makes me think that probably what's going to happen before you get down to solving the problem is having some conversation about how you can each be supported in dealing with such a stressful time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because what often happens in a relationship, whether it's a business relationship or a partner, you know, any kind of a partnership relationship, mm-hmm. as you well know, is that when the pressure is on, one of the safest places for us to kind of let this stuff leak out is with somebody
we really trust and feel safe with,
mm-hmm.
which is not always the best thing to have happen to a relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I will try and report back.
Yeah. Maybe just kind of listen to this again and watch all the aspects of the self that come up with this. You know,
mm-hmm.
Probably some who just really want a solution to this, okay? And don't want to have to go through any more of this. And everything that leads towards a solution to probably a lot of folks sounds like more work than they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the key for all of this is to get centered first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I think... Yeah. Yes, and I think that was the reason for the call.
Yeah.
I thought that if I called and said it out loud, that would help.
Yeah. And yeah. Maybe yes, maybe no, maybe now, maybe later. but the first thing, of course, is to realize that job one is I've got to get centered and
mm-hmm.
see, because that's the only place from which we can see that place that's most compassionate for all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
All right.
I will
let us know.
Work
There's
on
next
it.
Next week, you know.
Pardon me?
There's next week, you know.
There is next week.
Give us a call. Let us know how it went.
I will. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for joining us, Donna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I had a quick question of clarification.
Uh-huh.
So you were talking with Donna about during stressful in a partnership that stress can leak out.
Yes.
Were you saying that sort of if one party in that partnership is under stress, that person's stress can be sort of dumped on the other party or...
Yes, and often is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because it's a safe place.
Yeah.
It's sad, but we all know it's true. The people we often treat worse in life are the ones that we love the most.
Yes.
Because we trust that they will love us out the other side of whatever it is that's going on.
Yes.
And which is often the case, and sometimes we can challenge that ability. Sometimes, of course, we challenge that ability beyond the relationship's ability to sustain it.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the importance of getting together to look at the issue. I think it's in When You're Falling Dive, where we talk about, you know, you and I have a problem. If we put it in the middle of the room and get on opposite sides of it, it's going to have control over both of us.
Yeah.
But if we bring our chairs close together and together we look at our problem, then solving it is not that difficult.
Yeah.
Because we're doing it together.
Yeah.
Instead of in opposition to one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So inspiring.
Yeah, kind of makes you want to have some stress or get in a fight with a loved one so that you can practice it. Fortunately for most of us, those occasions arise with great regularity.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Sherry, thanks so much for today's show. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Michael. I enjoyed it, too.
Let's do it again.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.